RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, they say teenagers are from another planet. And you see them walking around with their heads down and their hair long over their faces, and they sleep until all day long and stay up all night. But you know, teen angst is not something that may really be their fault. They have all of these issues and they don't know what to do with all of these feelings. Well, here to help us sort that out is Dr. Cora Colette Bruner. She's a professor of adolescent medicine at Seattle Children's Hospital. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bruner. So tell us, teen angst, what are teens so anxious about?
Well, that's a wonderful question, and thank you so much, Melanie, for inviting me back to the show. Teen anxiety is something that we actually deal with every day in our clinics and the pediatrics and adolescent world. And it's interesting. The statistics are not changing. And basically, about 25% or one out of four kids is facing some form of diagnosed anxiety. It's a little higher in girls than in guys. So it's about 25% in girls and about 17 to 18% in boys. But it's basically something that we see in kids, that it might manifest itself with sleep disorders or poor school performance or withdrawal from friends and activities. And this can occur because kids are so worried about being accepted or fret as they're trying to fall asleep at night, or are overstudy and or tries too hard to do well in school and end up doing poorly.
So all of these things that they're feeling, and we know, we've learned on this show before, Dr. Bruner, about the adolescent brain and how different it is from the adult brain, but all of these things, the peer pressure, the insecurity, the worrying about acne and their weight and their grades and their future and their friends and their love lives and their everything, all comes together for these teens. What's a parent's first thing to do that we can do to help our teens sort through all of these feelings and still get their trust? Because, Dr. Bruner, I just want to point out, some parents build their children up all the time. You're so wonderful. You're so amazing. You're so, you know, and then you want to stick your finger down your throat. Should we be telling our kids how wonderful they are all the time? Or should we be more honest and straightforward? What do we do?
Well, that's a great point, and I think one of the things we have to be careful about is trying to blow up our kids' egos so much that they can't ever fail, and so they never learn how to. So then, once they launch to college or even after college, and they are unable to find a job or they're unable to really sort out what they're supposed to do, that's when the problems become quite obvious. So in order to preempt that, or in order to make sure that doesn't happen, is to actually be honest with yourself as a parent in terms of your expectations of your child, and make sure that you are clear with yourself. What do I expect from my child, and what do I expect from myself as a parent? And the things that are really, really important are what our grandmothers taught us long ago, which in terms of the physical support for our children, is making sure they get enough sleep. Of course, they need to get 8 to 10 hours of sleep a night. And these kids aren't getting enough sleep when they have to do so well in school and they have to keep up with all their friends on the social networking sites. And they're getting 6 to 8 hours. That's not okay. And as parents, we need to make sure that they do. The second thing is to make sure that they eat, especially breakfast. A lot of kids, when they're struggling with getting all their stuff together, they forget to eat breakfast and then sort of binge or eat not healthy foods throughout the day, which is not very good for the brain. And finally, one of the things that we have to be careful about is that there's enough time for quote play and or physical exercise. A lot of kids are so overscheduled with their academics or other pre-college or SAT prep things that they don't get enough physical exercise. And clearly we know that if kids get enough sleep and eat correctly and get enough exercise, that even if they have underlying anxiety, which might be genetic from a parent or grandparent, they're much more able to have the skills to cope with the world stressors, as opposed to those who can't, because they're not sleeping, they're not eating, and they're not exercising.
So how do we help them with things like their romantic relationships or feeling like they're not popular? Do we try and give them a makeover? And you mentioned physical activity. I love that. Get them exercising because that right there will make them feel better about themselves. But do we say, okay, maybe if, you know, you want to try dressing a little different, do we try makeup? Do we do those things to help them feel more beautiful or feel more liked or popular?
Well, that's a good question because I think that sometimes when we do things for our kids so much that they don't ever learn how to do it themselves. So it's important to provide like a number of different options for a child. Some kids really like girls like makeup and some don't. Some girls like to dress in a certain style and then others don't. Some guys like to dress differently or be more involved in certain academic or physical activities than others, and that's okay. And again, it's as long as they have some kind of a venue that they can use to sort of as a pop-off venue. It doesn't necessarily have to be with a parent, but as a parent, you should provide them all these different opportunities, not choosing for them, but allowing them to choose for themselves. And of course, there are going to be times when they fail, and the times when they have a crush on someone and then it doesn't work out, or they don't do as well in school as they thought, or their team doesn't win the championship, but it might even be their fault. This is an extremely important skill to help a kid learn, not necessarily how to fail, but how to tolerate failing. And I think that the stress tolerance is very, very important, and we do not teach our kids how to deal with distress. We teach them that they only need to succeed and they never need to know how to fail. And that's a huge lesson that is kind of skipped, I think, sometimes in parenting, is that we don't teach our kids how to deal with distress.
Well, we don't, and we don't want them to feel that feeling of failure or distress, and we don't, so we try and bubble them up and protect them from those feelings when sometimes, and I'm going through this right now, not with a teenager, but with a tween, and some feelings that she had, and I was kind of a little bit at a loss, but I hugged her, I told her it would be better the next day, and I mean, I don't know if I did the right thing, but she felt better when she walked away.
Absolutely. That's wonderful that you did that. That's wonderful that you did that. And I think that's really important, is to provide that physical touch with our children, and that this unconditional love that they know that they have from their parents, and they may not necessarily have that from their peers, is okay. I think that it is really important that we actually are so worried about the fact that we also feel bad that we're not doing a good job parenting. So not only does a child feel bad, then we feel bad that we somehow failed them because they're not doing so well. So things get kind of loaded when we're parents, because then if our kid's not doing well, when our kid's suffering, then it's somehow our fault. So it's doubly difficult. You don't want to watch your child suffer, and then you feel bad too, so then you're suffering. So there's your own stress tolerance as a parent too that we haven't really learned very well how to deal with the fact that, yeah, no, my kid gets hurt by some bully, and so I've somehow failed, which is absolutely not true. You haven't failed as a parent if your child is bullied. It's what happens, and the only failure is not being there for your child and acknowledging, you know, I feel really bad, and there's nothing I can do about this. I can help you, you know, if it is a bully situation, or if it's a sort of a interest of love that doesn't happen, or something that happens, and you don't have to wait in there and call the other person's parent and say your child was mean to my child. That is absolutely...
Yeah, well, that's that helicopter parenting thing. But now you only have 30 seconds, Dr. Bruner. Your best advice for helping our teens with their angst?
Well, my best advice, as I said before, is to make sure that you're there for them unconditionally at all times. If you're frustrated about them, that's okay. You can tell them, and then make sure you say what you need to say and then walk away and do your own self-care, which might be meditating or exercising or journaling, but you need to make sure you take care of yourself as a parent versus letting your kid have it because they're having anxiety. If your kid is really anxious, though, and this is something that goes beyond what can...
Only have 5 seconds left.
Make sure you use the mental health professionals in the community to help you provide care for your kid. So make sure if you need to go to your pediatrician or doctor and get help for your kids through the mental health community.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bruner. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Stay well.